All right.
So my first question is, how do you remember Sandy?
The immediate answer is, and I've always said it, the greatest acting teacher I ever knew or worked with. I took some classes with Lee Strasberg. Strasberg was great as a teacher of directing, interestingly enough, but as an acting, I thought he was bad. Stella was okay, but Sandy, the greatest.
Yeah.
I always thought that he was a genius.
How do you remember him as a person?
A very interesting contradiction, in my opinion. Full of warmth, full of love, and also bitterness and an ability to tear people apart.
Yes.
In my class, I only attended 1 year. He wouldn't let me back for the second year of the scholarship. See, I was 4 years older than the kids. I came to Sandy at the Playhouse thanks to Michael Strong. I'd been at Brooklyn College, and I saw Michael walking down the corridor after he had graduated. He was a year ahead of me. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm preparing. So I found out all about the Stanislavski, which I had known about. And then he told me about Sandy and the Playhouse. So that's how I went to the Playhouse, because he raved about Sandy as a teacher. And that's what happened. I'm sorry, I forgot the question.
It's all right. How do you remember Sandy as a person?
As a person. As I said, he was full of love and warmth, but he was also able to be very bitter. And I felt in my 1 year that he was especially cruel to women, especially if they had no talent. I think that's what he couldn't abide. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of unfortunate young women in the class. See, I was already 21, and they were all 18. And so I could observe, I had already taught speech for a year at Tom Jefferson High School in Brooklyn, which is why he wouldn't let me back.
Mm.
I was a smartass. I was also a performer. I had been in the Catskills. I had started in burlesque when I was still 16, 17, thanks to a guy who saw me act at school, and he was a comedian. In the bar circuit and burlesque, so I was a smartass. I had been there. I thought I knew a lot. And Sandy hated that. He didn't want me. And I would say things to Sandy sometimes like, look, we know you're great, but would you cut to the chase? What are you getting at? See, he wanted 2 years. He wanted people not to act, and he wouldn't let us go to work professionally until we were done at school, when I was singing professionally and acting here. So. He said, Charlie, at the end of the first year, when he was telling people what would happen for the second year, he said, Charlie, you go into the Army. That was 1942. So he wouldn't let me back. But interestingly enough, I went into the theater, and I was teaching a little bit in order to earn a living. And I went to see him to maybe I could observe, to better my own to acting and teaching techniques. And he talked with me, and he said, why don't you be my assistant, after throwing me out. And he let me be his assistant for 1 year, and then I got busy. So I found him a fascinating contradiction. Could be cruel, could be loving, could be warm.
And any examples of that?
Well, the way he spoke to one of the girls, I'll never forget. He really made it so that she would cry every day in the exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And he told her she'd never make it. She should get pregnant, get married, get pregnant, have a child. Finished. And she dropped out. So that I remember. Also, the class a year ahead of me, there was a wonderful actor named Stephen Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen couldn't take him, you see. He couldn't see the other side of Sandy. He only saw him as a cruel guy. So at one point, Stephen quit almost in the middle of the class. We were in the dressing room in the old 46th Street school. And we were dressing to go to work with Martha Graham after the class. And Stephen burst in, and Sandy tore in after him. Almost broke the glass door. He was furious at Stephen. And they almost came to physical blows, but not quite. But I remember that as Sandy's temper. Wow.
So he was a difficult man at times.
At times, very difficult. And at times, so caring. And I found him so full of inspirational talks and love of the theater and people, and he had met with Stanislavski, who was my god at that time, and stuff like that.
Well, you come from Brooklyn, like
I was born in Williamsburg, yeah, the depths of the poverty-stricken area.
Yes. And you went to Brooklyn College?
I went to Brooklyn College. I was lucky enough to get what they called a scholarship and stuff like that.
I used to bicycle ride. I lived in Flatbush then.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they had what is now Brooklyn College, used to be grounds for the circus, Barnum and Bailey.
That's right.
And I loved the circus, you remember?
Oh, sure.
What schools did you go to, Charlie, before the neighborhood?
Oh, in Williamsburg, I went to PS 25, PS 79, Tilden High School, Brooklyn College. And I became a teacher of speech and English and said, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. I want to act and sing. See, Shalyapin was my idol.
Yes.
To this day, he's the greatest performer ever, greatest voice. In fact, in his autobiography, this is not to the point, but he said, if I had not been a singer, I would have been just as great an actor. And it's true. He was.
You and Sandy had much in common then, other than
that. You know, a funny thing. Sandy, I think, I don't know why, but I always thought he played the piano beautifully.
Yes.
And he said, I don't play. Once I said that to him, he said, I don't play the piano. I said, Sandy, I swear I've heard you. And he especially Chopin's second concerto. Da, 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 da. Anyhow, he was such a deep lover of art, and it came out. And that's one of the reasons I love him and loved him. Although I didn't like his cruelty.
No.
Who does, you know?
He studied with Walter Damrosch.
That's right. And he told anecdotes about sitting behind Damrosch at town hall at a concert and enjoying the fact that he could kibitz Damrosch, you know, when he grew up.
Yes. When were you a student at the neighborhood? Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure. I went in September of 1940, September of 1941, and finished in June of 42, and wasn't allowed to go back for the second year.
Yeah, but it did take you on as an assistant.
Two, 3 years later, for the short time I had before I went on the road with some show.
You acted a lot, Johnny?
The first 8 years of my career, quote unquote, I was in the theater acting, singing, dancing. Then I got a job directing in television. Whew. And that became my career.
Yes. That's you did funny. Marvelous. Jimmy told me, I always forget the name of the great series. You know.
The MASH was the
MASH.
Greatest series. But in the 50s, in New York, when I was really like beginning, I directed the Pulitzer Prize Playhouse series, great one-hour dramas, but then the biggest, most wonderful of all my life, 4 years with Omnibus, with all the great music and drama, and just fabulous. You know, they paid me to work with people like Marcel Marceau, Lenny Bernstein, Agnes Dumas. They paid me.
They knew what they were getting.
Well, it worked, I tell you. That was, and yes. MASH was great also.
Oh, it was a marvelous series.
The humanity,
comedy. It was a great series. Those were the days that I liked television.
Uh-huh.
I don't like television these days.
Not much to like, unfortunately.
I don't watch it very often. I watch baseball.
I watch the old movies, actually.
I watch old movies. And lately I've been watching because I got so involved with this Cuban boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, they took him.
That farce.
They got him.
Away from the family?
Yes, the INS sent in marshals.
Oh,
I think he should have been with his father a long time. There's nothing to do with it. But there was a shot this morning, which I saw on television, of a woman marshal carrying him out of the house. It was so sad, and I kept thinking, what this poor little...
But well, I published it, yeah.
You remember some of the people in your class that,
oh,
made,
sure.
that made some...
Well, other than Jimmy, who's, you know, wonderful as a human being and an actor, and he has been successful. There was Michael Howard, who was a year ahead of me, I'm sorry, but I've got to know him very well. In fact, I see him all there. Michael runs the Michael Howard Studio here in Manhattan. wonderful acting teacher, superb.
Michael Howard?
Michael Howard. And right here in Manhattan. He lives in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Heights, but Michael was one of those people. Bill Darrett was another one who is now in heaven, I trust. And Lois Wheeler, brilliant actress in our class. Mary James was a brilliant actress, died all too soon. She was in a show, her first big starring role, 2 years out of the Playhouse, with Walter Huston on Broadway. Let's see, whom am I forgetting shamefully? Jimmy, Bill, oh God, I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of people who were. And then there was a woman named Joan Cheeseman, who was in a movie Rope by Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
She was a brilliant dancer and a very good actress. So there were quite a few people who came out of the year I was in.
In 40, I met Lois Olson, became friendly with her because I was in the hospital in Stockton, California for almost a year. I had what's called osteomyelitis.
She was from out that way.
Yeah, and her father was the mayor of Stockton, as I, didn't as I remember. Now, when you were a student, what exercises did Sandy use?
Oh, the right from the very beginning, we had to do one action and know why we were doing it. It's a long time ago. We had to then develop into do two actions, which became a story, if you will, a plot for a play. Three actions, and I remember we had to, Jimmy and Bill and I used to go up and down the elevators in that old building, making believe, acting that we were about to commit a terrible robbery. And we had to talk in code so that we wouldn't be observed. That kind of exercise of imagination is really what it was.
Yeah. Sandy could tear people apart in exercises. Have you ever seen that? Oh, he used them.
Oh, but in fact, I can't remember with good reason the specifics, but I know he would tear me apart from time to time. And one of the exercises was to talk about someone we adored. Well, that day I didn't pick Shalyapin, I picked Ezio Pinza, who was also a great artist. And when I was done, and he wanted emotion in what we, how we talked about these people, when I was done he said, "You were all intellectual. There was not a shred of feeling about, you say you feel strongly about nothing, nothing." Oh boy, did he tear me apart.
How did you feel?
I felt, yeah, I suppose I was an intellectual.
But you knew he was right.
Yeah, I felt he was right, that I did not have any feeling coming out as an actor should. That's what it's all about.
Harold Baldridge, who, do you know Harold? He now runs the neighborhood.
Only the name from
the
papers.
He runs the neighborhood. He said that was Sandy's genius. He could tear you apart with watching you, but it, maybe 3 days you would want to kill yourself, but you found out he was right.
Well, I knew he was right, I think, right away. And I resented it, of course. Because I resented it. Hey, I was already a teacher of speech and English and stuff like that.
I interviewed the man, I think it was after you, who was head of the speech department in the neighborhood with Martha Graham. His name was Bob Williams. He taught at Columbia, too.
Oh, I never knew him.
Oh, he hated Sandy. He hated Sandy because he was a very immaculate man, but he didn't like Sandy's lifestyle. And he accused Sandy of, did you know Betty Gooch?
Oh, sure.
He accused Sandy, said Sandy should never have gotten into that marriage because Sandy's a homosexual. This is what he told me. I didn't say anything.
No, he married two women, Betty Gooch and Peggy. And I always felt, gee, I hope it works, you know. But it didn't.
What did you learn from those exercises?
I really learned how to approach a part and a song, because I was also a singer at that time. I still was singing. I learned how to find, one of the great things Sandy taught was what was the author's intent? What did he want to see on the canvas? Use that kind of imagery. So I was able to to look at a script, thanks to Sandy's pulling the script apart to blank and then to build up what we thought the author had in mind, to be able to act and sing that author's intention. He had a wonderful approach to, you can't act out of your own thinking of what the play was. You had to find, what did the author have in mind? Mm-hmm. Which I found very valuable, and I used it throughout my career when I was directing and so on and so forth.
Did you feel, Sandy, is at all responsible for the success you had in your career?
I would say, in part, absolutely. I blame a lot of it on my father and mother. But he taught me how to deal with scripts, not just as an actor, but I was able to translate that into directing, to help actors achieve what I thought the playwright had in mind.
Yes.
So Sandy was very responsible.
Were you in awe of Sandy? Did you fear him?
No, and I think he resented that. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yes.
Think that. No, I respected him. And I was in awe of his talent, but not his persona. I was aware, you know, I studied psychology and all that stuff in college. And I was aware that he had a neurotic problem.
Yeah.
So I wasn't in awe, but I think he was wonderful.
Yes. You and everyone I've interviewed, gentlemen. Yes. The Sandy Show anger in class, you might imagine.
Oh, yeah. Whenever something wasn't good, really almost every time something wasn't good, especially in the first year, wham, because I don't know about the second year. Jimmy can tell you more about it, other people will have already. No, he showed anger frequently and threw things. And by the time he charged after Steve Elliott, boy, was he angry. Well,
there's a wonderful actress by the name of Kathy Nunn, Morrison Nunn. I don't think you know her.
No.
She's a paraplegic now. She fell on the ice some 13 years. She was very successful on television.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell on ice and broke her back and became a paraplegic. And she formed a dance group called Infinity Dance Group, which is composed of paraplegics and non-paraplegics. Mm. It's absolutely marvelous. But she told this story about Sandy. You might have heard of her somewhere along the line. She's wonderful. She came much later than you did. But she went to the playhouse. She was a ballet. She's a dancer in Washington, Washington Ballet. And Shirley MacLaine's parents sponsored her to the neighborhood. And he said she, one of the first few classes she was in, she had to walk into the room and find something she lost. So she came into the room.
That sounds familiar.
And Sandy hated it. He says, give me your ring. She had a gold ring on, which her mother gave her. And she gave the ring to Sandy, and this was the neighborhood on 54th Street.
Yeah.
And he threw the ring out the window. And she ran down hysterically and found the ring, luckily, and ran back upstairs. And Sandy says, now you did it right. Does that sound like Sandy?
It sure does. It sure does. Yeah. I can't remember specifics of any of that exact nature, but he wanted reality. He wanted to plumb our depths of emotion without fake.
Don't forget the word, don't indicate.
Don't indicate, oh my God. That's what he said so often, that's indication. And he wanted the depth of reality.
Do you recall any students who were not called back who became successful? Did I ask that already?
No, you haven't asked that. I don't know.
That's all right.
I don't know.
Charlie, what impact did Sandy have on you as a person?
Interestingly enough, it was because of that exercise about Ezio Pinza. He, as a person, there was a lot that I realized afterward of trying to be more truthful to my inner feelings.
Instinct, is that?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the personal impact that Sandy had. Plus the attitude about art, of respect for art and so on.
Mm-hmm. Did Did you have a personal relationship with Sandy at all?
Not really. No, only class. I always felt personally involved because of his impact upon me, but I don't recall going to dinner or lunch or any of that stuff.
No. What made Sandy such a good teacher? Is that a hard question?
Yes, I would say it's a difficult question to answer. First of all, his translation, I think, of the Stanislavski technique. I remember he once told us how he and Stella had sat with Stanislavski in 1934 or something in Moscow. They went to visit him. He said, "Stanis, this I adore, because Stanislavski threw Sandy to us." He said, "I don't know why you people," said Stanislavski to Stella and to Sandy, "why you people make me the god." Said, "I only try to give actors the ability to act a part if they have a problem." He said, "I cannot instill talent into anybody." And I think that was a basic part of Sandy's approach, to give us the ability, or to provoke, if we had it, the ability to act wonderfully.
Mm-hmm. Sandy and Lise Rochefort didn't agree on sense memory.
Boy, that's why I didn't like Strasberg's classes at
mm-hmm.
all.
Sandy said it was dangerous.
But not only dangerous, it was false. I'm so clear about that from what Sandy taught me and from watching Strasberg. You dig up stuff that's not related to what the author had in mind, was Sandy's big point.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional memory is from your own background, which some actors use wonderfully well to get to crying or to get to feeling emotional. But Sandy said, first is, what did the writer want? He used to say things like, in script sometimes you will see a writer puts in parenthesis in the play, "woefully." Well, there are a thousand ways to be woeful. So you have to find what the writer meant for that character at that moment.
Yes.
To interpret woeful. He said, too many people, he said, well, you know what he had us do? I just remember, it's been so long. He had us working with play texts, black out whatever the writer had put in as emotional directions. Said, sometimes that comes from the director or from an actor and it's published. So to begin with, that could be bad. Said, but even if the writer had it in mind, you have to find from the printed word, what did the writer want that character to be and do at that moment? That's Sandy Wise.
You said Michael Strong, who I love, by yeah. the way. I knew Michael and his wife in theater.
Oh,
I knew
yeah.
them, and
yeah.
he was one of the few friends that I was friendly with at the neighborhood. He and Jimmy, of course. And I used to go to, I love Michael Strong.
Oh, so did I.
And I was
dear
very depressed when I heard that he had died.
We were good friends all those years in his career, thanks to Brooklyn College and his recommendation of Sandy.
Yes, it was he. It was Michael McCoy. Did you always want to be an actor?
No. I wanted to be the greatest singer after Shalyapin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a teacher in high school who heard me in ordinary music class one day. He said, "Charles, you have a loud voice. If I teach you singing for nothing, will you sing in my church choir?" I said, "Of course." And she paid me $1 a Sunday at the height of the Great Depression. First lesson she taught me singing, she gave me Shalyapin's autobiography and a record of his to listen to. That was it. I was going to be the next Shalyapin. So after a short time I realized, thanks to listening to him on record, he was also a great actor. I'd better study some acting so I can become Shalyapin.
Yes.
That's where it began.
That's where it began.
But acting for me was because I was going to be Shalyapin, the greatest singing actor in the world. And then I fell in love with acting, and by great good chance someone asked me to direct something early on. I fell in love with directing, and I was having a difficult time, you don't have to use this, making allusions, an actor, singer, and so on. I was offered a job as a director. And then I got into television as a director, which I loved directing, so that was how it all came about. That's my autobiography.
Okay. I just want to be sure we have enough tape on there. I can't.
Oh, okay.
And before I turn it over.
What was that, a half
we've only been going, it's a half an hour, and so we're going to have 25
some time
minutes.
Left, sure.
What was your first reaction, your initial reaction when you met and spoke with Sandy for the first time?
Oh, it was that interview which we all had to do with all the teachers, including Martha and so on. I felt that, what was my first reaction? He asked me a question, a very key question, which I answered. He said, "You're answering again," he said, "you're answering intellectually. I wanted to get a feeling from you." And that gave me to realize that he was the guy. I understood what Mike Strong raved about him, and I realized he was the guy who could help me achieve a freedom of emotion in relation to acting. That was my first reaction. Because he said, "You're answering me intellectually." And I'm still sometimes like that. You know?
Well, but when he told you not to come back for the second year, you didn't feel intellectual about it. You felt
no,
emotional.
I was crushed. But I went off into the theater. I was able to get some work and stuff like that.
You never heard Sandy speak about his family?
Not a word. I only knew he was happy with Betty Gooch.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
Sandy used to use me as an example.
Really?
About it later.
Oh,
a bad speech of speaking with a Brooklyn accent.
Oh.
And of not being able to carry a tune. And so I found out later. So when I became 55, Jolly, that's when I started to grow up.
Uh-huh.
I was an alcoholic and so many things. Not a classic alcoholic, but and I stopped. I had a bad experience with my then wife, and I stopped. And the next day I went to Washington on business for the FAA, came back and I joined the AA.
Good for you.
And I went to psychoanalysis and AA for 7 full years.
Wow.
But at the end of 7 years, I felt as if I was going to go to Coney Island on a hot day, and that's not the way you're supposed to feel in psychoanalysis. But I said, I'm going to find out things about myself. Mm-hmm. So I went to voice lessons. Uh-huh. I took singing lessons. I found out I had a very good voice with a big range. And I acted in two plays.
No,
and that was sort of difficult, although I loved it.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
A friend of mine was directing a play. It was the head of the acting department at a small college in New Jersey. Studied with Sandy Lubas, Sandy at Stockton College, and he asked me to read for a play, Happy something or other by Bob Reiner, and I took, it was a Jewish father part.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I can't act," or he says, "Come down and read." So I went down and I read for the play, and I read for the neighborhood playhouse student who graduated, I remember her name, and I got the part, which I had no idea. Then the first day I came to rehearsal, see, I wanted to do the play because I wanted to see what I would feel like on stage. Could I do it? You see, it was important to me to find out. So the first day I went to rehearsal, he introduced me as Sandy Meisner's brother and everybody in the class genuflected. And my God, that was tough for me.
Oh,
I was willing to
quit. Bad.
But I was the only one that got a good review, you see.
Wow.
I was good. I found, it means nothing to the interview, but I found for the first time in my life I did have some talent as an actor.
Well, that's a wonderful realization.
Yeah, and I liked it. I found out so many things later in life, you see. But that makes no difference, Johnny. At some point you grow up, so you don't.
Yeah.
Some people have said, Johnny, that Sandy was a bitter, lonely, and unhappy man that over the years became more bitter. Do you agree on that?
I thought he was a mixture in 1942 of bitter. I didn't think he was lonely because he, you know, was in love with Betty Gooch and spoke about it on occasion with humor and warmth. And I didn't know him except 2-3 years later, and he was still that kind of a guy. I have heard from other people that over the years he got more bitter, and I don't know that I have ever heard him described as lonely, but I know they told me he got a little more bitter and so on and so forth. That's really all.
Over the years, did you see Sandy?
Not much. Not after those first 3, 4, 5 years.
When he was in California at 20?
No, I never got to see him.
Mm-hmm.
No, when I got into television in 1950, which is after he came out to California, I mean, he came out to California after that. I was, thank God, busy, so I never really had a chance to go to the classes and so on. I wanted to help my directing with actors, but I never got to do it.